Good afternoon. Good to see you all here today, appropriately socially distanced. For those of you who don't know, to my right is Melissa DeRosa, Secretary to the Governor. To my left is Robert Mojica, Director of the Budget. Always happy, always smiling. Today is Sunday. It's a beautiful day in New York City. Sunday for me is a day of reflection. And we'll do a little reflecting. Today is day 64 since we closed down New York. Only 64 days. Feels like a lifetime. But only 64 days. Today's numbers. The total hospitalization rate is down, and that is good news for all concerned. 9,786, below 10,000, which is a big deal for us. You have to go back to like May 18th and 19th to see where to get near that number. The number of total hospitalizations again is down. The number of intubations is down, and that's really good news because intubation is generally bad news. The number of new cases is 789. That's good news. We were hovering at about 900, 1,000. That may be just a reporting anomaly because this is over the weekend and the weekend reporting tends to be a little different. And remember, this reporting system we just put in place, this never happened before where hospitals were reporting on a daily basis. So, and hospitals have a lot going on, so I wouldn't bet the farm on any of these specific one-day numbers, but the overall trend is good. The number that is the most important number that we look at, which is still tremendously distressing, is the number of deaths, 280. And you can see that that number has not moved dramatically in a relatively long period of time. But the overall direction is good, even though it's very painful. I think it's important that we take a moment and learn the lessons of what we've been going through. This has been unprecedented, what we've been doing for the past 64 days. This was all an urgent situation. This was all hurry up. We had to quickly figure out a plan, quickly enact a plan. But now we're a couple of months into it. And I think simultaneously we should be learning the lessons of what we just went through. People talk about this like it's going to come and go and it's a once in a lifetime. I don't know that it's a once in a lifetime, and I don't know that it's going to come and go. There are people now talking about a second wave. They're talking about a possible mutation of the virus. So caution would suggest that as we go through this, we learn at the same time to make sure if we have to go through this again or if this is a prolonged situation, that we are learning from what we're implementing. Edmund Burke, great Irish philosopher, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Wise words. The macro questions, bigger than just New York questions, bigger than the governor's questions. What happened in China? You know, people are talking about it. Where did this virus start in China? How did it start? How did we not know? What should China have told us? Above my pay grade, but important questions. How did the virus get from China to the United States? And we assumed it got on a plane from China and flew to the United States. That was the first thinking when this started. Now it appears that that's not so. As we're going through this, what could we have done differently? More importantly, what should we do differently if this is a prolonged situation or if there is a next time? And again, caution, I would assume there's a next time. Anyone who sits back and says, well, this is the only public health threat that we're going to face, it's not the case. We're seeing increasing threats all across the board, environmental threats, Mother Nature, natural threats, threats from emergency weather that we've never seen before. And if you look back, as far back as 1918, when they had the flu pandemic that people talk about, it took 10 months. It came in three different waves. And the second wave was worse than the first wave. So even if you put aside all the modern day challenges, when this happened in 1918, it came in three different waves. So let's be prepared and intelligent. Some of the lessons to learn. The CDC did a fascinating report that it put out on May 1, which starts to take a deep look at what happened. And I think there's a lot of important information in that. And it pointed to something that we've been looking at here in New York. The report says that when they look at the different strains of the virus in the United States, that there are different strains. And we were all looking at the West Coast. The West Coast had cases well before the East Coast, remember, maybe 6 weeks before the East Coast. Those strains came from China. What we saw in the state of Washington, what we saw in California, they came from China. Flights from China land predominantly on the West Coast. What we have seen in New York didn't come from China, but actually is a different strain of the virus that came from Europe. That's an important fact to know and to study. They then said in the CDC report, from February, you had 139,000 travelers coming from Italy, 1.74 million from other European countries where the outbreak was spreading wildly and rapidly. So everybody's looking at China. Meanwhile, the virus had traveled from China to Europe, was in Europe, spreading from Europe. We had European travelers coming. They come to the East Coast. They land in New York, they go to New Jersey, they go to Connecticut, they're in the New York area, and we're all still looking at China. We were looking at China, and the travel ban on China may have been helpful, but the horse was already out of the barn in China. The virus had left. The virus was in Europe. And meanwhile, we have European travelers coming here, and they're bringing the virus, which is now a different strain of the virus, to the East Coast. This is from that CDC report. The deputy director, principal deputy director, delaying travel bans allowed for the virus to spread throughout the United States and contributed to the initiation acceleration of domestic COVID cases in March. Extensive travel from Europe, once Europe was having outbreaks, really accelerated our importation and the rapid spread. The timing of our travel alert should have been earlier. That is a very important fact and something we have to learn from. A person from the Grossman School of Medicine, knowing the number of flights coming into New York from Italy, it was like watching a horrible train wreck in slow motion. This, nobody was watching Italy and Europe at the time. Nobody was even thinking about it. Today we must consider an outbreak anywhere is an outbreak everywhere. A.J. Parkinson. And I think those are words to remember going forward. Outbreak in China, in a number of days it's going to be in Europe. From Europe it's going to come to the United States, assuming it didn't come from the United States immediately from China. Another lesson we have to learn is our hospital system. You know, we talk about our hospital system. We don't really have a public health system. We have a hospital system. And we learned the hard way about the capacity, the equipment, and the management of our hospital system. New York City, we have only 12 public hospitals. They are the Health and Hospitals Corporation. They're run by New York City. But there's only 12 hospitals in that public hospital system. 44 hospitals are private hospitals. They're private institutions. They're regulated by the state, but they are private institutions. They have their own area of expertise. They have their own basic clientele, and they're doing business as individual entities, like an individual college, right? We have a system of colleges, but each college is individual. It's the same thing with hospitals. Each hospital is an individual entity. Long Island, we have 4 public hospitals, but we have 19 private hospitals. Westchester, 1 public hospital, 12 private. Rockland, 1 public, 2 private. Hudson Valley, rest of the state, 2 public hospitals, 87 private hospitals. So really, your healthcare capacity in the state is all in the hands of private hospitals, right? You have 176 private hospitals in the state. That's the capacity. But that means you have to now rely on those private hospitals, get them all to be part of one system, which day to day, that does not happen. They're operating themselves. We have, again, state regulations that say this is how much you must operate. But they operate as individual entities. In the middle of this outbreak, we had to go back and do what we call the surge and flex management system, where we said to all 176 private hospitals, we have to work together. And we have to manage this system as one, because hospitals are getting overwhelmed. Maybe within the public system, they can share patients and doctors and staff, because you have, in New York City, H&H has 12 hospitals. Okay, you can share among your 12, but we have to get these 176 hospitals now all to work together, even with the public hospital. And hospitals were getting overwhelmed. So now you need a system to share patient capacity, share equipment, share ventilators, share staff. That had never been done. We did this all basically on the fly, and we put together a de facto public health system. But it was a lot to do on the fly, and we need to institutionalize these lessons. Part of what we have to learn is what happened with the equipment. I mean, this was just a situation that nobody anticipated. It happened all across the country. You couldn't get enough gowns. You couldn't get enough masks. We're going to put in a state requirement now that every hospital has to have a 90-day supply, stockpile, their own stockpile, of all the PPE equipment that they could need for a 90-day supply at the rate of usage that we saw with this COVID virus. So every hospital has to have 90-day supply, period. We can't go through this day-to-day moving masks all across the state, right? This mad scramble that we were in and still are in many ways. Also, as a nation, we can't go through this again. There was competition among states. There were competition among private entities to get this equipment. The federal government was trying to buy it. I'm bidding on behalf of New York. We're bidding against other states, Texas, California, other states across the country are trying to buy the same masks from the same vendor. We literally wound up bidding up the price. I have people in China. I'm trying to contact people in China who can figure out how to buy masks from China. It was totally inefficient and ineffective. State of Massachusetts, Governor Baker was good enough to work with Robert Kraft, who had a personal airplane that he sent to China to get masks. And Massachusetts was good enough to give us some of the masks that a private airplane picked up. I mean, this is not the way to deal with this situation, right? We just drove up prices by our own competition. There was a limited supply. It was primarily in China. And then you have 50 states and all these private entities and the federal government trying to buy from China. It made no sense. So let's fix that. New York State alone buys about $2 billion of medical supplies this year. $2 billion this year. And that's one state. And that's us purchasing from China and around the world. We're going to form a consortium with our seven Northeast partner states, which buy about $5 billion worth of equipment and supplies. That will then increase our market power when we're buying. And we will buy as a consortium, price as a consortium for PPE equipment, ventilators, medical equipment, whatever we need to buy when you put all those hospitals together, all that public health capacity together, which will make us more competitive in the international marketplace. And I believe it will save taxpayers' money. I also believe it'll help us actually get the equipment, because we have trouble still getting the equipment and just buying the equipment, because these vendors on the other side, they're dealing with countries, they're dealing with the federal government. Why should they do business with one state, right, when they can do business with an entire country? So this consortium, I think, will help us get the equipment and get it at a better price. We will come up with a regional identification of all the equipment we need. Basically, it's all standard equipment. A mask is a mask, a gown is a gown. Let's come up with a total amount that we need. Let's stop doing business with vendors who we found to be irresponsible, and we found out the hard way. I can't tell you how many orders we placed with vendors who were acting basically as brokers, who just started businesses in the middle of this pandemic because they saw an opportunity. So let's compare notes among the states to find out who was good to do business, who was not good to do business with. Let's see if we can't do the purchasing in this country, and let's see if we can't do the purchasing in this region. You know, why are we buying all this material from China? Literally billions of dollars of PPE. And we'll do it in coordination with the federal government. But I want to thank our neighbors, our neighboring states. The word neighbor has a different connotation. You don't normally think of the surrounding states as neighbors. You think of the person next door as a neighbor, but they are neighbors. And they've acted as neighbors. I can't tell you how supportive Governor Murphy in New Jersey and Governor Lamont in Connecticut and all the other governors in our coalition have been. Literally where you can pick up a phone and I can say, I need help with masks. Do you have any extra masks? Do you have any extra gowns? Can I borrow this? Can I borrow that? Really the way you would deal with a neighbor in an extraordinary circumstance, right? You'd knock on the door and say, can I borrow this? That's how these states responded. And it was really a beautiful, generous, way of operating that was an inspiration to me. You know, it wasn't, I'll have my lawyer call your lawyer. It was, whatever I can do, I'll do. In that spirit, we want to keep that coalition together and we want to work together. We're doing regional planning now on the reopening because every state is linked to every other state. We do something in New York, it affects New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, et cetera. People are very mobile right now. So it's a very important relationship for us, both productively and from an efficiency point of view. And they have been great. And they're joining us today. We have Governor Phil Murphy with us, Governor Ned Lamont, Governor Tom Wolf, and Governor John Carney. And we'll start with our neighbor from the great state of New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy. How are you, Governor Murphy?
Be on with you. I will be brief and say I echo literally everything you've said, including the comments on the positive in terms of what this has been like, the deficiencies, as well as the inspiration which was derived from our neighbors, and notably beginning with you and all the other governors who are on this with us today. It has been truly an inspiration. So on behalf of the 9 million of us in New Jersey, I say thank you. You know, we are in the same boat. We're begging, borrowing, and bartering for the equipment, PPE, ventilators, et cetera, that we're still doing it. Someone said to me a couple of days ago that gowns have become the new ventilators. And so we're still out there. And so the notion of coordinating together as a region makes enormous amount of sense. So sign me up and sign New Jersey up. We've moved in New Jersey alone 21 million pieces of PPE in the past 2 months, a line of business we weren't even beforehand. And so this makes so much sense. And really look forward, again, as you suggested, we coordinated actively as we closed our governments. We now have a regional council that includes not just the governors on today, but also Rhode Island and Massachusetts. This is a perfect extension of that relationship. And I echo one of your comments that not only should we not have to be scouring the world for this, but it ought to be made in the USA, and better yet, made in our states, made in this region. And so that's something that I think we all want to strive for. We're doing that in New Jersey. We want to try to figure out a way to make this stuff here. And lastly, and you said this, but to repeat, we've all got to do within our own four walls what we need to do. The regional cooperation matters so much, and another great example of that. I think it's a brilliant extension of our ongoing cooperation. And then lastly, none of this is in lieu of the partnership with the federal government. As you rightfully point out, we have to do all of the above. What's good for our own citizens, what's good for the region, and work seamlessly with the federal government every step of the way. So thank you for having me on today. Thank you for the extraordinary partnership to you, Governor Cuomo, and to each of my fellow governors in this group, and really looking forward to working with you in the better days ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Governor Murphy. I think the governors on this phone, we've learned so much about PPE over the past few weeks. I think we can go make gowns ourselves at this point. I think we've learned now. Give us some sewing machines. I think we can actually contribute. So thank you very much, Phil. God bless you. And stay well, and anything you need, we're here. Thank you. We'll go now to Governor Lamont, great state of Connecticut. Governor Lamont, thank you very much for being with us, and thank you for all you've done, not just for the people of Connecticut, but for the entire Northeast. Good to be with you, Ned.
And back at you, Andrew. I'm going to tell you, on behalf of Connecticut, New York, and Andrew Cuomo has been a very good neighbor for us. And as you know, we got into this together. We realized what we had to do when it came to closing down parts of our service economy. We did that together. We're opening it up together, and that's the way it works best. And as you point out, when it comes to the purchasing, look, we've learned something, right? We can wait for the national stockpile. We can wait for that plane to land from China. Let's see what we can do ourselves. And as you point out, we're much stronger together. I wouldn't mind having some of that New York purchasing power. Thanks for sharing that with Connecticut going forward. And just as importantly, what we can produce together as well. I mean, Phil Murphy, you got that amazing pharmaceutical industry there in New Jersey. Help us out with the reagents and what we can do in terms of gowns from being produced in Rhode Island. What we can all do together to make sure that this next round, we control more of our own destiny. And to those that say, where have you been and you're ordering up all the Christmas trees and they're gonna arrive on December 26th, I say, I'm afraid this is still just beginning, as you pointed out, Governor Cuomo, and we're planning for the next round of this, if there is a next round, making sure that we control our own destiny going forward, and we do it much better together. Thanks for getting us together, Andrew.
No, my pleasure. Thank you very, very much, Governor. And you're right. Look, we're spending billions of dollars. Why not buy from our own vendors in our own region? Why are we buying from China, right? I'm sure there are a lot of businesses within our own states that if they knew they had that kind of purchasing that they were looking at, that they would either adapt their businesses or grow their businesses so we could buy from them. Plus, you're right, we would control our own destiny rather than everyone trying to figure out how to buy from China. So thank you very much, Governor Lamont. God bless you. We're here. Thank you. Let's go now to Governor Wolf from Pennsylvania. Good to be with you, Tom. Thank you very much for everything you've been doing.
Thank
you for being a great neighbor to the state of New York and all your surrounding states.
Thank you, Governor Cuomo. Thank you very much for organizing this. A few weeks ago, we all got together and announced that we were going to work together to fight this pandemic. We said then that by working together, we can do a lot more than we can do if each of us works on our own. And I think today is a specific example of that. We can work together to buy the things that we need to allow our healthcare system to have the capacity it needs to fight this fight. We need to help our hospitals. We need to help our healthcare workers. We need to help our long-term care facilities, our first responders, all those things. And what you're doing here and what we're doing is actually pulling together to make sure we're doing all those things. And part of this is testing. It's not just the equipment. We really need to work together to build the capacity to test, or we're not going to be able to give our citizens the confidence they need to go back to work. They're not going to have the confidence we need them to have to go back to school or go back to the store or to go back to worship. So all those things are really important. And by working together, we can pool our financial resources, which are really important and significant. As you pointed out, Governor Cuomo, we can actually pool the brain power that exists, the great institutions in our areas, and the manufacturers who can make this stuff. All of that we can pull together, and if we can do that with something as difficult as testing, I think we're going to make sure that we get through this in the best possible way. So thank you for pulling us together. This is really important, and I'm proud to be with you.
Thank you, Governor Wolf, and you're so right. Look, we're creating, in some ways, new industries, right? Whoever heard of the testing industry or the tracing industry or these reagents that all these tests now use? Even the demand on PPE, I mean, this is a whole new world for all of us. But there's also an economic opportunity in it, and we should take advantage of it because we need it, and it's not going away, and it's going to be a major industry going forward. So let's make sure it happens here. But Tom, thank you very much. Thank you for all the help, and thank you for everything you're doing. Really, you're an inspiration to all of us. Thank you, Tom. And we have Governor John Carney with us from Delaware. John, thank you very much for being with us. Thank you for all the help. Thank you for all the support. Thank you for the friendship through all of this, which is also very important. Just the personal support is important as we're going through this as colleagues. Thanks for being with us today, John.
Yeah, thank you, Governor Cuomo, for including Delaware in this coalition. Thank you for your great leadership there in the state of New York, and particularly Metro New York City, with your colleague governors on either side of you. You're an inspiration, frankly, to all of us. Our hearts go out to you as we see the numbers. I was really happy to see your numbers on the chart at the beginning of your conference today as they trend downward. That's really a very good and positive thing. And thanks for including us, a state of, we like to refer to ourselves as a state of neighbors. There's just shy of 1 million Delawareans here on the southern end of this geographic coalition on this side of I-95 and the Amtrak Northeast Corridor, which connects all of us. The two governors at the bottom of my screen are great partners, Governor Wolf and Governor Murphy, on either side of the state of Delaware, really important, our coordination and collaboration. But this particular initiative with respect to purchasing together PPE, and most importantly, I think, as Governor Wolf mentioned, testing equipment and capacity, is so incredibly important for a small state like ours to have the purchasing power. Governor Cuomo of New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and Pennsylvania and Massachusetts and Rhode Island is just so incredibly important for us in terms of getting the right pricing. And you know, if we're going head to head with New York, we're not going to get it. If we're along shoulder to shoulder with you and with Governor Murphy and Governor Wolf, we've got a good chance of getting a better price and getting the product that we need. And I think through all this too, the other thing that was really interesting to me in joining the coalition was just all the assets that the other states can bring to the table in terms of intellectual capacity, your research institutions, your hospitals, because we know that there are going to be breakthroughs, or we hope, in testing and other kinds of technology that help us as we respond to this. So I couldn't be happier to be part of this coalition. a part of your leadership team, Governor Cuomo, with, again, my two neighbors here in the southern end of our coalition. And to each of you, thanks for the great work that you're providing to the citizens of your state. I tell people all the time, it's going to be way harder, the decisions we have to make in reopening our economies in phases, than it was shutting things down, in my view, just because of the balance we need to strike there. And we will do that working together and with the expertise that this coalition and the purchasing power, in particular of this initiative, will bring to the state of Delaware. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank you, Governor Carney. And Governor Carney's right. It was easier to shut down than it's going to be to reopen. Shutting down was, you walk into the basement, you take the power switch, and you just go from on to off, right? There was an urgent need. It was an emergency. Reopening is more of an art form. And I thank my governor, my gubernatorial colleagues for doing this together. We also have Governor Raimondo from the state of Rhode Island and Governor Baker from the state of Massachusetts who are part of the coalition. You know, you go through situations in life which are unexpected. Okay, you do your best and then you learn from them and you grow. And that's what we're trying to do here today. Because people expect more from government than ever before. I believe this has been transformative for a generation. Think about when was the last time government was this vital? I don't know, maybe in a war, World War II, when government had to mobilize overnight. But literally for decades, you haven't seen government this essential to human life, literally. And government has to work, and it has to work well. And it's not for the faint of heart now. And people want government to perform. And government is making decisions every day that affect their lives. And they deserve the best government, right? They're paying for it, they deserve it. And they deserve competence and expertise and smarts, and for government to be doing creative things and learning like we're doing here today. At the same time, government is working. We're trying our best. We're working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We're doing a lot of good work, a lot of creative work. But this is not just about government. You know, it's too easy to point fingers. Well, this one has to do that. This one has to do that. Every person has a part in this. Every person has a part. And driving around New York City today, and I was here yesterday, you know, we all are very thankful to our healthcare heroes, our frontline workers, our essential workers. You watch television, there are all these nice commercials, thank everyone for what they did. And we should, nurses, doctors, police officers, transit workers, God bless them. But if you really want to say thank you, make their life easier by not getting sick and not making someone else sick. An individual's role is act responsibly and intelligently for yourself, for your family, and for your community. Wear a mask. Wear a mask. I mean, that's the basic step, right? Socially distance. If you can't socially distance, you're in New York City, you're going to walk up next to a person, wear a mask. Okay, it's not the most attractive garment ever created. So what? Well, I don't like, you know, it feels uncomfortable, unnatural. So what? You want to honor the healthcare workers and the people who literally gave their lives in some cases for what they did here? Act responsibly. Wear a mask. I know the weather's getting warmer. I know people want to get out of the house. Fine. Wear a mask and socially distance. That is your social responsibility in the middle of this overall pandemic. And when we talk about New Yorkers together and the spirit of unity and how people are helping one another, and how tough we are, and how smart we are, and how disciplined we are, and how we love one another, show it. You know how you show love? By wearing a mask. Please.